glimmer, lead us less too far. We wander, love's sweet voices calling yonder, shine.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and you are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I am pleased to be joined this winter, this evening, by Lance Swaggart. Good evening, Lance.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm absolutely great. How
good.
About you?
Good.
Good. We are here to continue our seed saving discussion that we started last week, and glad to do that. We want to thank Sarah Pope, who was here from the Delta County Libraries last week, to talk about what they do down there. And we want to remind everybody that they've got some events happening this week.
Mm-hmm.
Starting on Wednesday, they'll be down at the Hotchkiss Library.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are what? They're sorting seeds.
And packaging.
Packaging them.
Yeah.
And you donated some seeds to that cause.
Yeah, I went to that and, took some down there today.
Uh-huh, golden beets. And then on Thursday, they'll be at the Delta County Library in Delta. And then on the 28th is the symposium here in Paonia.
Okay.
Yeah, so good seed-saving stuff going on. And thank you, Sarah, for joining us. Okay, it is a call-in show. We are coming to you live, and we've got DJ MJ in the control room tonight helping us out. So make the phone ring in there, 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. We're going to start talking about annuals, but last week, Lance, you took a call. Right when the show was finished, we had a caller worried about sterile seeds.
Sterile seeds, and I looked that up and stuff, and the reality is it's going to have to be listed as a hybrid, an F1 hybrid. And so anything that says F1 or more, all those letters or numbers behind it, is a hybrid, and you're not going to want to get that for seed saving.
So something you're picking out of the seed catalog
or
commercial seed you're picking up somewhere.
Yeah, and generally speaking, that sterile seed is usually called the terminator gene, and it's usually GMO, which is nobody wants anyways, and all that stuff's patented, so unless you sign a lease or a permit or whatever to do that, you can't save that seed.
So this terminator technology is designed to not let it reproduce into seed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's probably what
happens. They'll have soybeans or corn or whatever they did, and it's okay. They'll eat it, but it won't germinate.
Gotcha. So that can be a sterile seed issue. All right, 527-4868-1-866 KVNF now. Sarah last week was telling us some of the easier plants that she recommends starting seed saving.
Yeah.
Lettuce, peas, beans. Those are some of the annuals we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's lettuce is really easy, but the thing is it takes a long time. You plant it in April, and you're not going to harvest seed till October.
You're just going to let it sit there.
Yeah, it takes that long for the seed to actually ripen.
Uh-huh.
It does not cross-pollinate. You could probably have 3 or 4 varieties. It's a complete flower. It's good to have them 10, 15 feet apart or more, maybe 20. But the other thing that lettuce likes is it likes, once those stalks start coming up, the lettuce flower stalks coming up, you want to keep the lettuce plant on the drier side.
Okay. Yeah, we've talked about that before. Lettuce likes dry.
Dry in the seed production thing. Mm-hmm. It actually likes dry. And then the other thing that has happened, I've made this mistake a couple times, is those stalks look like they're really firm and sturdy. They really aren't. And if you're running a sprinkler and those leaves get full of water, the whole stalk falls over and possibly breaks off.
Okay, so you want to not sprinkle, you want to water at the base of the plant?
Water the plant. Just let the hose run or however. Or if you're doing row irrigation, it's really easy because you're never going to have that problem.
Right. So watch it on your lettuce. And you don't want that stalk to break when you're waiting forever for your seed to come out.
So, it has happened. So.
Yeah. Okay. Peas, another easy one for the new seed saver.
The peas are pretty easy, and just plant them the regular time you plant peas. And again, you have to, this is the other thing that makes gardeners hard, is you actually don't get to pick them.
Right.
You actually have to let them grow and bloom and dry.
And be tempted by them, right.
But peas are a complete flower, so they generally do not cross-pollinate. and stuff. And yeah, just keep on letting them. And those you keep watering. And you can tell when the plant's done.
Uh-huh.
And then you take the water off, let it all dry out. And, you know, you can pick the dry pods off if you want, one by one. Or you can take the whole plant and thresh them and winnow them.
Uh-huh. But you're going to leave it on the plant for a while. Until
you
actually
want everything to mature on the vine if possible.
Okay. So I like the fact that those are easy and they don't cross-pollinate. So not a lot to worry about there if you're getting started. You're just
They're pretty easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great start there. And, you know, we have Larry on the line from Paeonia. Good evening, Larry.
Hello.
Hi.
Just wanted to follow up on something. Lance was talking last week about the squashes and pumpkins and things like that, and the various species of cucurbita. And the mention of cucurbita mixta, there was like, well, it's not really very important. But I just wanted to share my experience with, I was a horticulturist at the Desert Museum in Tucson for several years.
Yeah.
And there was a, what they call the Papago pumpkin. And it's a cucurbita mixta. It's big, sort of a, it's about a bowling ball size, green. And it likes to climb a lot. It'll climb up in the trees or fences and things, and the fruits will hang down. So when I moved back to Paeonia in 1980, I grew several of them outside, and they're delicious. I'd like to be able to get seed of it again. Possibly they may have some through the Desert Museum.
Yeah, the native seed search.
Exactly. The Papago, of course, are the Native Americans around Tucson.
Yeah, you just don't see mixta, that group, too often.
Right.
That's all. It's not that it's not important. You just don't see it that often.
This is a squash.
This is a squash.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. You know, and you might, on Peytu, the seed saver and collector on Redlands Mesa, and his number is 835-3418.
Yes, I know on Peytu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, maybe you'll have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck with that, Larry.
One more comment on the F1. Even if they don't have a, you know, even if they're not actually sterile, you wouldn't want to save them because they won't come true from seed. The F2 is like, it's just going to be a hodgepodge of everything. So it's not something you'd want to save. You only want to save seed from open pollinated.
Open pollinated. Yeah.
Okay.
Right on.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Larry.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate the call.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Let's talk about that pollination just a little bit, because we're talking about these plants that aren't going to cross-pollinate, and we're F1 and F2 and open pollination. And we're going to see that in the seed catalog. And how are we going to know that?
Well, we'll say OP.
OP.
Yeah.
And some coating system.
Yeah. And some will say heirloom. Heirloom is just an antique open pollinated, or OP.
Okay.
It's, in other words, it's been around for 50. I don't know how they gauge that. I don't know the actual rules.
Rule for an heirloom definition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is.
But it's an old seed.
It's an older variety that's been around for a while. And all of those, an open pollinated just means that they haven't been hybridized with two or three or four parents.
Goodness.
And that's why you can't, it's hard to save the, unless you're actually trying to breed your own stuff, which is a whole nother thing we're not going to get into.
Right.
And there's the three varieties. I mean, with varieties, there's wind pollination, insect pollination, and then, of course, the complete flowers, the beans and peas. There's that.
And they're considered self-pollinating?
They're self-pollinating.
Okay.
Yeah. And the lettuce is like that, you know.
Yeah. And last week, and Larry was mentioning the cucurbita, cucurbita, we were talking about squash and how to keep that pure and not have that cross-pollinate. One of the ways to do that is hand pollinate.
Yeah. So there's the three varieties. There's a mix. There's the four varieties.
Four varieties of squash, yeah.
But there's Pepos, Maximas, and Moschatas. And you can any Moschata will cross with any Moschata. Any Maxima will cross with any Maxima. And any Pepo will cross with any Pepo. And some catalogs, I'm sorry to say, that don't mention these names. And some catalogs are really, really good about mentioning. They really need to mention them if you're going to do seed saving. And you can always look them up. There's always some way to figure out what group they're in. But you can grow one variety of Pepo, one variety of Maxima, one variety of Moschatas, and even one variety of Mixta, all in the same garden, and they will not cross.
Oh, so nice variety there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in a place with lots of gardens around and bees travel, 3 miles, you're going to hand pollinate.
And so you want to get to the pollination
yourself. So what you do is you tape the flowers that you're going in the evening that look like they're going to open tomorrow next morning.
Uh-huh.
And you tape those shut, male and female. And you mark them so you know where they're at, because you might not find them the next day. So you better mark them with something bright colored thing. And in the morning, you take the male flower and peel all the petals off of it. And you do two or three of those. And then you go to each female flower. And you can tell the female flower because it has a baby squash or melon or whatever on
right there.
And the flower's at the tip of that. And the male flower will not have any. It's just on a stem.
Kind of look for that beginning fruit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you go and take that male flower and touch the inside of the female flowers with it. Move it around. And you can do this for many different
ways. Very gently.
Yeah. And then you tape the female flower back up, because you don't want the insects to get in there. And I actually don't know, maybe a few days or a week until that squash is actually forming. And then you can take that tape off.
All right. That sounds good. The control room is interjecting and thought maybe a little Barry White music might help in that hand pollination.
You know.
Yeah. I think it might. You know. All right, but that's the way to keep that squash from cross-pollinating.
Yeah. And once you get a seed stock going, you don't have to grow that squash. There's so much seed coming out of there that you probably wouldn't have to do that but once every 5 to 10 years.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
right.
There's so much seed. It's, I know melon seeds get better with age. Most things lose germination rate, but maybe the squash are the same. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so you're not having to go through this whole practice every year.
Yeah, if you're doing different varieties.
Different.
But once you got that seed stock up, you don't have to do it after that.
And let's talk about that volume. Oh, you know what I want to do is give the phone numbers 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. We are talking about seed saving. The volume that you need to plant, Lance, for true good diversity. If you really want to start...
Yeah.
Building a supply of your own seed.
Mm-hmm. You need about 25 or more plants.
Say we're doing squash.
Squash, you need about 25 plants.
Okay.
Of that one variety. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get a seed yield, depending on whether it's a good year or not, but that might give you what, several years of seed?
Say 10 or more.
10 or more years.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And homegrown
return.
Seed lasts a long time.
As far as germination factor?
It lasts a long time.
Staying viable?
Yeah. I mentioned last week I grew carrot seed that was 14 years old. And it germinated. And Sarah mentioned those beet seeds she had gotten to me.
Right.
Technically about the same. Pretty good germination. Corn's on another thing as far as the amount. It can, if you don't plant enough, it degresses, or I don't know if that's regresses into pretty poor plants pretty fast. So you really need 200 or more, and some people say 300 or more, and some people say a minimum of 100. But you really, if you're going to save seed for corn,
you need a nice little plot to get going on.
I'm using doing 250 to 300.
Is what. Do you do that every year, or do you do different corn every year?
I do different corn every year.
And when you're growing for seed, what happens when that plant starts to mature and get close to seed harvest? What are you doing? Are you just letting it dry out? And then what's the process?
The longer you can leave it on the plant, the better. Mm-hmm. You know, and mature. And I just read something before the show on the cucumbers, melons, squash, all those, that if you harvest them and let them sit for 20 days, the seed actually gets better before you actually harvest the seed, process the seed. The seed actually gets better. So, you know, I generally have harvested cucumbers and cleaned the seed right there. Well, now I know that I'm going to let them sit for another 20 days.
And then clean the seed.
Then mm-hmm. I'll clean the seed.
And some other plants that are like that are...
was just that one. I was just right. Happened to read that one section. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And on the corn, where are we selecting on the plant? Don't you have
you
a trick?
To get into that too.
Well, no, you have a trick and it's
yeah, it's actually the middle
thoughtful.
Of the cob.
Middle of the cob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you, first of all, you pick the traits that you see, a perfectly formed ear, shaped, good pollination, the whole thing. And if it's an 8-row, a 12-row, there's all these things in there. That you can look at.
Right. And you want to, that's part of the seed saving miracle or fun of it is that you get to pick the traits that you like in a plant and try to reproduce that.
Yeah. And the popcorn we've mentioned, we're only picking the ones with rounded kernels because generally speaking, I do it by hand and they can be very pointed and tear your hands up.
Right.
You know, because corn, grains store better on the cob. So I actually, that popcorn is all in my closet in buckets on the cob.
Oh, really?
And it's 3 years old and it's still popping just fine.
Wow.
So every time I want popcorn, I have to take it off the ear.
I love that. So, go get us a cob of popcorn there, will you, Lance?
Yeah. But anyways, you take the middle of the ear because if you grab the bottom third or quarter, that makes the plant get smaller, lower.
Okay.
And if you take the top part of the ear, that makes it get taller and lankier, and it falls over easier. And so you want the ear corn grows on the middle of the plant, so you take the middle of the ear.
Okay. Success for your corn plant there. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Another plant easy to get going and annual is beans. Sarah from the library does a lot of beans.
Lots of beans, both green beans and dry beans.
Dry beans.
Yeah, and they do quite well. And thinking of where you select the seed, if I'm correct, it's bush beans. You collect the seeds from the top of the plant.
Okay.
And pole beans seems sort of funny, but you actually take them from the bottom third. And that increases yield. And that's what that's doing. If you just got seed and you... just let it go. Just do your best. And if you see them declining, then there's these other techniques you can use. And what I mean by
declining?
Declining is less production.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can use these different selection techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, but beans are dry beans. I don't make any difference. You know, I harvest them, thresh them, clean them, and set aside a quarter seed for every time I grow them.
And you do that every year?
Every year with whatever
variety you have.
This
going.
Year I'm growing, Montezuma Reds. It's a red chili bean. And Swedish Browns. Those are the main ones that I'm growing this year.
Wow. You know, I just think of all of these varieties, and you've always got something new in your garden, and then you're growing for seed, and... you really could catalog everything up there. I know it is in your mind, but we might just want to sit down and have you download that someday.
Pretty amazing. I do have that kind of mind. That's why I haven't ever written anything down.
It's perfect. Good way to use it. Yeah. Okay, so annuals. Basil, cilantro, what about some of those herbs?
And basil takes a long time, and The trick is not to pick it.
Yeah, to let it sit there and watch it.
Yeah, and there's many types of varieties of basil. They will cross, so you can only do one variety unless you're willing to... there's actually a way to do it. If you wanted five varieties or two varieties, you cage one day, and let the insects work the other one because it's insect pollinated. And then you take that cage and put it on another one, and this one is open, and you move it back and forth.
Okay.
And you can do that if that's something you want several varieties of basil in 1 year.
Really kind of controlling that whole environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you'd have to do. So, and it takes a long time. Again, it wouldn't be ready till late September, early October.
Yeah, that's a long time to watch
it. And if a hard frost is coming, what I've done is pull the whole plant and hang it or put it on sheets so it dries because those are very small seed.
Right. Yeah. Yep, get it inside and protect that. All right. We've got Anthony from Paonia on the line. Good evening, Anthony.
Anthony.
Oh, he's coming. Well, Mike's going to get him on the line right here, and we'll talk to him in just a second. But yeah, you mentioned you do have to watch some time with these plants. Anthony?
Hi, guys.
Oh, there he is. Thank you, Mike. Good evening. How are you, Anthony?
I'm well, thanks.
Good.
We should say hi, Lulu.
Yes, hi, Lulu, over there in ski land.
No, but it's not about coddling moths, don't worry.
Oh, good.
But it is about... here, a couple months ago, someone really kindly gave me some seeds for Afghani white apricots and French prune d'argent, and I stupidly left them in my washroom where they'd been sitting. It was pretty warm. So is it any use still bounce or not?
Oh, yeah. Just put them in the freezer.
You put them in the freezer right now?
Yeah.
But so when should I plant them?
In the spring. Unless you can put them in pots now and put them outside, but they need to be frozen.
I could put them out there right now.
Yeah.
But is it better to put them in the freezer?
Well, either way will work.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You're
brilliant.
Cold
stratifying them.
thank
you
very much. Yeah. All right.
Bye.
That sounds yummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to grow some good fruit up there. And that is certain plants. Can you say what kind of plants those are that require that cold stratifying seed?
It's usually stone fruit.
Stone fruit. Okay.
You know, maybe apples, lettuce and spinach and carrots. They do good. If it's older seed and you're having a little germination problem, you can freeze them. Yeah, and they'll germinate better.
Yeah. In general, how do you store your seed? Cool, dry place?
Yeah, it's a cool, dry place. They're generally in jars, but I have some heavy plastic ones too.
Uh-huh.
And I have actually 5-gallon buckets of stuff.
Wow, yeah.
You know, sealed buckets.
Right.
And on top of that, light. I have blankets or sheets over those so they don't get light. Because light actually deteriorates them really fast.
Really fast, yeah. So keeping it and dry. And that's one of the great things about our climate here is you don't have to worry about that part of it.
Yeah.
And may I ask you just a little off the seed saving discussion, are you pulling from your storage pit right now and the food that you've...
Yeah. There's still so much stuff in there.
Right.
I did get a cabbage in today from one of the... pots I had the cabbage stored.
Uh-huh.
So
nice.
Yeah, but they're still in the pits. And...
You're looking healthy, not losing weight.
No chance on that. I got 4 cookies in the car.
All right. And I do want to just let people know that Lance grows all of his own food and mostly from his own seed. And you are the guy to talk to about seed saving. Mm-hmm. We've got Dave on the line from Montrose. Hi, Dave.
Hi, I have a very simple question for you guys. It's about seed saving, and that is: are there any seeds that that don't last for many, many years? Because I've wondered about that for some time.
Okay, parsnips.
Parsnips.
Is one.
Well, too hard to grow anyway.
Yeah, actually, the easiest way to do parsnips is you plant them in the fall. And they come up on their own.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let them go, huh?
Yeah, and I've mentioned that people, and they finally are now growing parsnips.
Onions
might not last.
Seeds,
what's that?
Most other seeds will last for many years.
4 or 5 years. Onions can. The only things that I've had go bad on me are onions and lettuce. Everything else seems to do pretty good, you know. And I've I have cabbage seed 10 years old still germinating just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I do have one other thing popped into my mind.
Sure.
I've been growing a lot of chard and just letting it go to seed and just reseed the garden so that the next spring tons of chard come up and it crowds out the weeds. And I wonder if there's any downside to doing, like, flood seeding, I guess you'd call it.
No, no. I mean, just thinning. You know, I don't know how, if you're satisfied with what's going on, then it's perfectly okay.
Yeah.
You know,
and yeah, okay. I like that.
You know, and it's funny because I can never get Swiss chard to winter over. I have to either dig it up and store the roots, or I have to mulch it really thick. My particular garden, it doesn't. But I've seen other gardens where it's technically a weed. It's volunteering, just like cilantro or a dill or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm doing. I just let it go to seed, and, and the next spring it just comes up. And the same with my lettuce, frankly.
Yeah,
yeah, nice.
Yeah, no, the only thing I'm curious, is that Swiss chard, is it going to seed the very first year, in 1 year?
I think it did, because I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because it's generally speaking...
I know 1 year it didn't. Yeah. I think that maybe it didn't get pollinated or something. Are they male and female plants?
No, it's wind pollination. On Swiss chard and beets, and
so
also
they have both male and female on the same plant.
Yeah, and it smells pretty strong. It's a very sweet smelling flower in the heat of the day.
The reason I'm asking you about if it's
blooming in 1 year is because it's technically a biennial, so it's all plant growth 1 year, and the next year it reseeds. It goes.
That explains something then, because 1 year I didn't get it to come up the next year. So that's why.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So.
But I thought it died off in the winter, but maybe some of them. I think some did survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rootstock. Okay. Well, that's it. That's all I had. Yeah.
Interesting.
Good work, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks,
enjoyable.
Dave. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. I did want to mention something about spinach.
Yeah.
And again, spinach, all these things you're growing for seeds, you don't pick the leaves, you know, because they need to be producing seed. So you let the whole plant go to seed, and spinach, you let the whole patch go. Like I have 5 rows and they're that I've wintered over, and they'll be, I think it's 5 feet. So it's 25 feet a row technically, because they're 5 rows in a bed. But there's male and female flowers. Are plants, and you don't know male or female until they start blooming. And
so you planted this spinach in the fall.
This is that spinach that
that
I planted in September for a spring crop that did
really well.
Really well. We picked it in December.
Right.
And
you've got it out there. This is going to be a seed crop.
Seed crop.
And
yeah.
That's going to go all the way until... October?
No, that actually, spinach actually can get mature. I'll probably have that out of there by June.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
Wow.
But the plants are already
a great way to do it.
Technically full size.
Right. So you just put it in there in the fall, got to eat a lot of it.
Yeah.
And you're going to have seed
so
by
that,
June.
So that patch that is for seed, I'm not going to eat any of that.
Right.
I'm just going to leave that.
It's
the other, the rest of the bed I can eat.
That's great. All right. We have time for one more call, 527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. What about the effect sometimes of heat on our gardens, especially the seed patch of it? Can your seed saving be affected by
once the
real hot days?
What I want to say, once the pods or this thing has already started, no. It's the only thing that... is the heat can affect the pollination part of it, not so much the actual maturing of the seed. So the beans, if it's too hot, the male part of the flower can die, and then bumblebees moving around or bees, they can cross-pollinate that way through other bees. We had callers last year talking about how they couldn't get their eggplants or peppers to set fruit in a greenhouse.
I think it was their eggplants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that might be a heat thing.
A heat thing, right. Yeah. I do recall that now.
Yeah. You know, and if you're going to grow peppers and eggplant or tomatoes for seed, you need to let them go all the way. You don't get to harvest those guys. You know, the eggplant, it's got to go completely till it's almost rotten on there to mature that
on
seed.
On the vine.
On the vine. And peppers, they're going to turn from green to red, which is actually a ripe pepper, and just leave them on there as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've pulled plants and just let them dry on the plant.
Right. And you want to do that too before a freeze. You're watching for the freeze.
Yeah. And if it's not going to be too hard, you can cover them.
Mm-hmm.
You can put tarps over them, blankets. And other tomatoes, and this is one thing we'll touch on right now. Maybe we'll get it next week a little bit more.
Okay.
Is they need to be fermented.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of.
And it's a.
The different ways that we dry and.
Yeah.
Or.
And the reason why you ferment it is there's a sprouting inhibitor on the seeds. And you there's a process. And so you actually squash the entire tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you need – if they're too dry, you're going to have to add a little water.
Mm-hmm.
And you let them start fermenting. And every day, I think for a week, you stir them twice a day, twice a day. And you stir them, and the seed, good seed actually falls to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Anything floating is not good. And anyways, and you don't want to do this in the house because it can get quite stinky.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fermenting your tomato seeds.
Yeah. I don't know about peppers or eggplants. I don't think you have to do those. You have to ferment cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my melons and squash, I at least soak them overnight.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do have to ferment cucumbers?
That has the same thing on it.
And so you're going to go through that period where you just mentioned that you have to or you want to store them for about 20 days to increase.
You let them sit for 20 days after harvest. Then you would clean them out of there and soak them, doing this ferment. And there's instructions on how to ferment them. I'm sure it's all over the place, but there's plenty of books. I have two books here.
Okay.
You know.
Well, we might talk about that a little bit next week as we talk about biannuals and more seed saving discussion. I want to thank our callers tonight, Larry and Anthony and Dave. And don't forget events going on at the Delta County Libraries this Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday here in Paonia. So we will be back next week.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Thanks, Lance.
Okay.
It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Have a good evening.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.